Do you have much to report from those meetings and what you're learning?
Well, I think the main thing is the participation has been phenomenal. A lot of discussion on what we're doing right and what we can do better, but also things that we're not doing right. And putting that on the table as well is just as important. The committees have met subsequently, and they're drafting some ideas for goals and objectives to move forward. At the upcoming board meeting in December, on December the 4th, we'll present some of their ideas in very much draft form. I do see these to be changing up until the point where they're finalized, probably at the June board meeting. But again, just to start getting things down on paper so people can start reacting, putting thoughts to and whatnot is very, very important. Also, as we start the budgeting process for next year, having the input already from these town hall meetings, from the committee meetings and whatnot, helps us formulate the thought process we go into budgets. Even in this infancy stage, is important. So again, the more commitment, the more conversation, the more dialogue that we have around those efforts of the strategic planning process, we'll start to see those roll out in many, many different ways.
Has anything that you've heard during these discussions actually prompted immediate reaction and immediate change?
A couple things with regards to some of our policies and thought processes a little bit. Some of the ways we promote and market the institution is really giving me some pause for thought. I am thinking right now very seriously about some structural changes that will be reflective of some of those discussions, things that we need to highlight and those type of things. Right now I'm in the process of really digesting those. And to me, strategy forms the structure. And so some of these early strategic discussions and some of these thoughts and whatnot are percolating for me to prompt some structural changes. So, yes, there's been some early developments that have made us as an executive team kind of rethink some of the things that we've done in the past and alter our structure.
Moving on, some of the other big discussions, and this has been a constant conversation piece for our meetings, and that is the ongoing debate on a smoking or tobacco policy at
yep.
Murray State. And do you anticipate some action on that soon?
Well, as I stated to the campus community, that this is a board of regent discussion and decision. We do have a board meeting on December the 4th, and this will be an agenda item for them to fully discuss. What we will do is we will present to them the plethora of data that we've collected. The Insurance and Benefits Committee had a task force that was talking about going smoke-free and whatnot. We've kind of retweaked their goal, so to speak, to investigate the three options. Going completely 100% tobacco and tobacco-like free, going smoke and smoke-like free, i.e. e-cigarettes and mm-hmm. et cetera, and then the third option of just kind of taking what our current policy is, which is no smoking inside buildings, and what they've termed as the campus enhancement policy, which would tweak that existing policy to address some of the shortcomings. For example, having smoking right outside the doors and intake valves of buildings and those type of things. The board will make a decision on one of those three or a fourth option, which
they could come up with, maybe?
What they would come up with.
Yeah.
And then what their charge to me would be is to come back at the February meeting with a policy that would implement whatever decision they go or implement an implementation schedule, whatever the case may be.
Also, at a board meeting just prior to your arrival, there was a discussion of whether or not Murray State faculty and staff members would see a raise given enrollment numbers at Murray State. And
sure.
I'm wondering if projections hit where they were supposed to be, and will Murray State faculty and staff members look to a small raise at the beginning of the new year?
Sure. And let me also clarify your statement there. I think it's important to clarify. What the motion was, or the decision was, is that to build in a 1% cost of living increase for all faculty and staff who were members of the faculty and staff as of April 1, and then their salary as of July 1 would be a subject to that 1% increase, contingent upon not only enrollment projections, but also revenue and expense projections. That's an important one that we need to keep in mind. As of right now, it does look very positive. It does look like that we have met all of the enrollment as well as revenue and expense projections. And so I do believe that we will see a positive outcome of the board meeting. But I'm hedging my bets because you never know. So I'm saying that it is positive, but no guarantees. 2 days before the board meeting, the governor could come out and say we're cutting budgets by 3% or make up a number or something along those lines. But as of today, it does look very positive that will be an outcome at the December 4th board meeting.
You've been an outspoken advocate of diversity policies on our campus. And the city of Murray is looking at its own fairness ordinance, which hasn't been updated in quite some time. As a CEO of a major organization in this community, do you have a position or a thought on it?
Well, I do have a position and a thought, generally speaking, with regards to diversity. And I expressed those to the Murray City Council through an open letter. Murray State prides itself, as we should, of being open and inclusive and respectful of different viewpoints and different ideas. And we will not discriminate based on race, color, creed, religion, age, veteran status, sexual orientation, gender preference, and the like. That is part of our ethic. I think some of the key things and I'm reminded of this, and I wrote this in the letter, I'm reminded of this every time I walk in the quad. There's a bronze monument about the desegregation of Murray State University. And we were among the first universities to do so well before other universities adopted desegregation. I understand the ordinance has many twists and tails and all those other kind of things along those lines. But I think it's imperative on us to treat individuals as individuals fairly and equitably. So if I can lend my words, if I can lend my title to help support it and promote treating people equitably, treating people with dignity, regardless of race, color, creed, gender orientation, sexual preference, and et cetera, that's what we need to do.
Dr. Bob Davies, thanks so much for stopping by for our monthly chat.
Thank you very much.